Fall in love with low prices. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on delicious 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is February 5th, 2025. Please leave a thumbs up on this video, subscribe, tap the bell for notifications, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats over at humperchats.com. I'll tell you about that momentarily. It's a big week post Royal Rumble, lots of Fightful Select stuff going on, but we got Jimmy Van here for the hump. And let me tell you, you know, you've been humping for a long time when you start making your own nut milk,
yep,
of which Jimmy has informed me that he does.
Yeah.
And he says it's delicious.
It is. It is. I make almond milk and cashew milk myself. And it's good, man, because we don't talk too often about too deep personal health stuff, but I've got gut issues. So I'm off dairy for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And cashew milk and almond milk, if you make it yourself, it's good, man. It is.
Let me ask you, Jimmy, in order to make your own nut milk, do you use a milking table for that?
So I have this. I have.
Where do you prepare your own nut milk at?
Oh, what a guy! I have this device called the Almond Cow, and the Almond Cow does it in like 90 seconds. It's really good.
Wow!
Yes.
Wow, that's not a lot of stamina, but
I knew exactly where you were going, and that's why I made it. I made a point of saying almond milk, not nut milk. Let's go with almond milk, cashew milk. There you go. Sometimes coconut milk too.
Oh God, Jimmy.
It's good, man.
Jimmy. I don't know. For those that are watching, we are live on a number of Twitter X accounts. I need to go retweet those. If you all don't mind, head over. You'll probably see them on my Twitter getting retweeted and all that. But that stuff really helps our reach. If you don't subscribe to Fightful Select or send super chats, humper chats, any of that stuff, you can just retweet our links, share our YouTube links. Whether it be in Facebook groups, on Threads, on Instagram, we are on all those platforms. And today, for the first time, we are streaming live on Instagram over at Instagram.com/FightfulOnline. If you are here on YouTube, where we have a ton of interviews, ton of post shows, news shows, and now info videos, we also are over on Instagram, as I mentioned, where we've had a new approach since we got that back. But on YouTube, you can send a super chat on Twitter, X, wherever else you're watching. You can go to humperchats.com, get those questions in, get those statements in. That stuff helps us so much, and it helps guide the show, lets us know what you want to talk about. Of course, there are a few topics, Royal Rumble, WWE lawsuits, that we are going to get into regardless. But Jimmy, it's been a crazy week.
It has. And just to tell you how things have changed in terms of content consumption, Sean, today is the 37-year anniversary. It's February 5, 1988, that WWE did the main event match, the main event special on NBC, Hulk Hogan against Andre the Giant with the twin referee finish. I think all of us have seen it. You know, if you weren't alive then, you've probably seen it on YouTube. Can you believe that match did 33 million live viewers? 33 million live viewers on NBC.
My God.
It is the most watched live wrestling match in American television history. And it's amazing when you think about it. It's amazing when you think about it, because last year when SmackDown was still on Fox, and if they put up 2 million viewers, and that was considered pretty good, that match did more than 15 times what SmackDown would do on Fox. Like, it's crazy to think the numbers that did. And back then, there was no YouTube, there was no Twitter. You couldn't rewatch it unless you had a VCR.
Right? Yeah.
And recorded it. But I was 12 years old. I remember watching it live. I remember, like, oh my God, Hulk Hogan lost the WWF title. Andre calling it a tag team championship. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Man, I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah, I can't believe it did that much viewership. It really shows you how like things have adjusted and things have changed.
Yes,
along the way. Before we get into Royal Rumble talk, all that stuff, couple of important lawsuit elements to bring up. The amended lawsuit from Janelle Grant was dropped last week. We kind of realized that we kind of knew that's what's going to happen. They'll probably do something around Mania week as well. They're very smart about that. They want to capitalize on when eyes are on WWE and get people talking about their lawsuit. That way it is not out of the focus of people's minds, because in the daily news cycle, that happens. That just happens. So that's why anytime a new piece of information drops that they can comment on, they also comment on that. The amended lawsuit featured a couple of pretty important elements. There was naming Brock Lesnar, of whom wasn't named in the original lawsuit. He was named in the Mr. McMahon documentary, but he was not named in the lawsuit prior to last week. This is largely why WWE has not even considered bringing him back, hasn't thought about it. Like, it isn't a thing that they have really discussed to any extreme degree. And then there is the allegation that Vince McMahon had Janelle Grant produce images for not just Michael Hayes, but his production team as well. Now, there is some context lacking there as far as Michael Hayes' specific involvement, if he requested them, if he was offered them, and then they said, yeah, do that. So I think that that's important as well, because some elements of this, like there are elements of this where apparently this was so widespread, but it was also the first time a lot of people had heard about it. There are also some other things in there, like the mention of Paul Levesque sharing like an office door and all that.
Wall.
No office wall, no specific allegation thrown his way. I do feel like that was probably a way to get people talking about that element of it.
1,000%.
But there was no allegation levied there. What did you take away from this?
Desperation tactic.
From Janelle Grant and the attorney? Okay.
Yep. So I'm not a lawyer, but I've dealt with lawyers a lot. I've dealt with the legal process a lot. Like you said, the timing of this was on purpose. They did it the day before the Rumble, January 31st, because they wanted to kind of piggyback on the attention WWE was going to get. They mentioned names of the prominent people that they mentioned, like Michael Hayes and Triple H, and they mentioned Nick Khan in there, and they mentioned Brock Lesnar. They did it because these people have prominence in the company, but there was nothing in the lawsuit, at least yet. Maybe there's going to be another amendment. Nothing in there did indicate any wrongdoing at all. And I saw people online, Sean, and you and I talk so often about media literacy. Mm-hmm. So often. I saw so many people online. Michael Hayes should be fired. Paul Levesque should be fired. These people don't understand anything. They don't understand anything. This lawsuit has a lot of claims against Vince McMahon, and there's a lot of stuff to back it up. A lot of text messages to back it up. And Vince is a whole other, can of worms. But there's nothing in there to indicate any wrongdoing on the part of Michael Hayes or Triple H or Nick Khan. Brock Lesnar, gray area. Because Brock Lesnar, there are allegations of potential
direct knowledge. Direct knowledge and potential trafficking.
Trafficking.
As of now, based on what I've read, like, there is no specific information saying, well, Michael Hayes requested these. Michael Hayes said, hell yeah, brother, send me these. As of now, at least the allegations and claims on Janelle Grant's part are that Vince McMahon attempted to traffic her either physically or digitally to a construction crew,
right.
Michael Hayes, a production crew, Brock Lesnar, Johnny Ace, and others as well. So, I mean, I would like to see more information and context provided. Like, was Michael Hayes a willing participant in this? Is this something where Vince McMahon was just like, yeah, I also want you to do it with this person, with or without any of that person's knowledge? I mean, granted, when some accusations are levied, obviously, WWE's got to do their due diligence and look into that. Do I have a great sense of confidence that they'll do that? Well, I don't know. But
they actually put screenshots in there that surprised me that they did, because they didn't help their case at all. They put screenshots in there of Janelle sending pictures to Vince by text message with a note like, hi, Michael, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they put it in there to indicate this is from Michael Hayes, but it was her sending them to Vince. Nothing from Michael Hayes. And then even with Brock, they said that Brock texted her to try to set up a meeting. No screenshots of any text messages or anything.
I believe it claimed that it was going to happen, but inclement weather prevented it.
And then he was inebriated. They claimed that he went to her building because Vince lived in the same building.
Okay.
So they claimed that Brock went to the building, but was inebriated and a meeting didn't happen. But it's all circumstantial. And the thing with Triple H, see, here's the thing. And again, I've been part of legal processes on both sides, and you have to prove it. Circumstance doesn't really matter. And obviously you can't assume. So with Triple H, they're like, well, these alleged interactions with John Laurinaitis happened in his office, and Hunter shared an office wall. So Hunter must have known. But sure. That's assumption. That's circumstantial. That doesn't mean anything. And when I saw this amendment and I saw these names, but then I didn't really see any context. Even with Brock, there was really no new context. I thought this is desperation. So I'm waiting to see, is there going to be another amendment or are they going to settle? We'll see where it goes. But they definitely have a ton on Vince. Like Vince.
Yeah.
You know,
I would be shocked. I mean, again, she and her attorneys have claimed they don't want a settlement from Vince, but there's certainly a mountain of evidence against Vince McMahon. I think enough against WWE specifically, whether it be the current regime or the past regime, doesn't matter. It's a matter that it happened under that umbrella. Speaking of, the Ring Boy lawsuit is moving forward after a vote was held in order to see if that would continue. I would imagine that will also gain a hefty settlement.
This one's not good. So if, for anybody that might, maybe you're a newer fan, you're not aware of this. So Mel Phillips was a ring announcer back in the early to mid 80s. And he was also part of the ring crew. This first came to light in the early 90s. The guy that was at the center of it, his name was Tom Cole. So he was one of the ring boys on Mel Phillips' crew. Back then, WWE would do tapings in the same cities a lot. You know, they would do Baltimore a lot. They would do Allentown, Pennsylvania a lot, Boston a lot. Mm-hmm. Mel Phillips was on the ring crew. He would recruit local boys, usually preteen to 13, 14 years of age, to help put up the ring in exchange for perks, backstage access and merchandise and tickets and whatever. And all these allegations came to light that he was abusing these boys. Tom Cole, again, was the first one. He ended up settling with WWE back then. Unfortunately, he committed suicide not too long ago. I think he was 50 years old when he committed suicide. And what makes this even worse, the reason that they're going after Vince and Linda, and I think TKO is on the suit and so is WWE, is because the allegation is that Vince knew about it. And Vince not only fired Mel Phillips in the 80s when all this was happening, he rehired him at one point.
Yeah.
And that's bad, man. And so this isn't obviously a good look. So this is five other ring boys, former ring boys. They're remaining anonymous in the suit. And the reason they're doing this is because the Maryland Supreme Court eliminated any statute of limitations on child sex abuse lawsuits. And so that paved the way for this lawsuit. And it's a really sad story. And apparently it was widely known at that time. There was other people that were involved. Terry Garvin was accused. Pat Patterson was accused. But Tom Cole apparently let him off or something because he was rehired. And Tom Cole kind of let that one go, something. But that's the situation. And, Vince, fun times for Vince McMahon. Fun times.
Indeed. Guys, we encourage you, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We are going to talk Royal Rumble. Answer a bunch of your questions. Yeah, I'll save that one for later. Do you know the location of Money in the Bank 2025? Not as of yet. Both companies are kind of keeping their pay-per-view locations a little bit closer to the vest along the way, is what I'm told. Sean, being there was a great shock I felt when J1 was wild. I actually liked that he won. I just wish they didn't repeat the Gunther match. And that is the direction I expect this to go. We'll go ahead and talk about this and accumulate some more super chats, humper chats. But Jimmy, Jey Uso wins. I was shocked. I thought for sure John Cena was going to win. I saw a lot of quote unquote outrage. And this does show me that, you know, a lot of people will probably complain about anything. But you know what? That's the beautiful part of having an opinion and subjective wrestling entertainment. Just because I disagree doesn't mean it'll be wrong. I would have went with John Cena. I would have. You've waited this long to get the man cheered. He's finally getting cheered. I would have done it. But also, I don't know how you could look at the sea of Yeet shirts, see the merchandise list that I saw, which I will drop today on FightfulSelect.com for subscribers, see the reaction on Monday and think that it was the wrong decision. I think there were multiple right decisions, and I think that he was one of them. Do I think that they should have burned the Gunther match already? No, I absolutely don't. I think it would have went a lot farther if they didn't have that match already. But Jimmy, I'm interested in what you think.
So I saw Chael Sonnen on Ariel Helwani's podcast today. Uh-huh. And Chael Sonnen actually believes they're going to do Cody J. He's convinced they're going to do Cody J.
I don't think so either. He waffles.
Yeah. So I look at it like this. The appeal of the Royal Rumble always, because I saw some people complaining about the in-ring quality of the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble has always, the appeal has been the element of surprise and moments. That's always been what it's about. You're not watching it for a five-star classic. Yeah, they gave a Shawn and Taker 1 year for like 10 minutes, whatever. But you're watching it for the surprises and you're watching it for the moments. With that in mind, I thought the Men's Rumble delivered because I was shocked that Jey Uso won, just like you. I was very surprised. I understand why they're doing it. It's one thing whether you like it or not. I understand why they're doing it. His entrance is massively over. The Yeet catchphrase is massively over. You told me when you were in Indy that they've got shirts now with like different cities on them, which is smart. So they're selling a lot of merchandise for him. I get all of it. Like Raw, he got like an extended ovation. I get it. My issue is very much what you just said. Number one, I have zero interest in Gunther versus Jey Uso. I have zero interest. Yeah. It's the same story that we've already seen with Chad Gable and Sami Zayn. It's the story where Gunther beats them and then I can beat him. I know I can beat him. Chad wasn't able to do it. Sami Zayn did it for the Intercontinental title. I don't know if Jey Uso is going to do it for the world title. I'm not interested in the story. I'm not interested in the match. With all due respect to Jey Uso, I just don't look at Jey in my mind as a world champion. I just don't.
Yeah.
But I understand why they did it. When you watch Raw and you saw that ovation that he got, I get it. I just, it's not a match I have any interest in. And that's kind of how I look at it.
The Jey Uso Gunther thing again, had they not just done it, I would feel way different about the match, because at least now that there is the element of like, okay, well, Gunther's character did kind of try to avoid Sami Zayn because he lost. So he won't show fear externally, but in some of his behaviors, the character will. Does he believe that Jey Uso is so close to winning that title that he has some doubt about it? I don't know. But I think that him just showing up, having never interacted with Jey Uso, and being like, who are you? You're like fifth on the bloodline depth chart. Like, why would I want to wrestle you? Like, if you want you had your WrestleMania main event, it was in a nice little tag team match, whatever. And him saying all that stuff about it not helping his legacy, true. Again, my issues with this have nothing to do with Jey. Mm-hmm. Like, Jey is massively over, and within the context of a WrestleMania main event, I think he's going to do absolutely fine. I think that we are not going to see another Jimmy versus Jey match that was not, you know, was really, really bad. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. Panda Express says, I think them having him lose to Gunther made him winning the Rumble that much more of a surprise. It certainly did. But even if they didn't have that match, Jimmy, I was not going to predict Jey Uso to win the Rumble. I think it's good long term to have Jey Uso win the Royal Rumble as well, because at least then, you know, you can always bank on that sense of unpredictability. Like, people will always remember this as one of the most unpredictable Royal Rumble victories of all time.
And, you know, prior to the Rumble, when you and I did our predictions, and we both predicted Charlotte for the women's and Cena for the men's, and that's what I thought. But right before the show, I was talking to somebody that said to me, isn't Cena doing Elimination Chamber? Because they had already advertised him for Elimination Chamber. Yeah. That got me thinking, crap. So maybe Elimination Chamber is going to be for the WWE title. That means the winner of the Rumble is going for the world title. So the night of the Rumble, I was thinking Rollins or Logan Paul, because those were the guys that cut the promo with Gunther. Never did Jey Uso enter my mind as being an option. I thought Rollins or Logan Paul, and given what Rollins is doing, maybe it would have been better if he was in there with Gunther. But
we will be talking about this more throughout the show. But Shucky Ducky says, wasn't expecting a milking table reference, step host. Joker says, is the plan really triple threat for Punk, Roman, and Seth? That sucks. Could Penta be the one Drew was mad at? No, Penta is not the one that Drew was mad at. It was LA Knight.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we will talk about that. So the triple threat plan, the WrestleMania plans have been so fluid. Like, Punk was set for 3 or 4 different opponents before this. And then at one point it was Punk and Reigns. And now they're like, well, we got to work Seth in there somehow. And then if The Rock shows up, which I know a lot of people gave Dave Meltzer a lot of flack because The Rock, he said The Rock was upset that the word of him not doing Mania got out there. First off, he's right. The Rock would just show up and do WrestleMania just sort of like to do that. But also, that is something that we included in our reports. WWE is of the knowledge that he could just show up and just start doing it. But the Drew McIntyre thing. So I was on my way home. I stop at a gas station to fill up my tank after Royal Rumble. And then I see the reports and we quickly confirm them. PW Insider had said that Drew McIntyre stormed through the backstage area. Fightful Select said or reported that he was upset regarding LA Knight and maybe a delay in what he was doing. He was basically talking about LA Knight getting his shit in. And the way that the Rumble was supposed to play out was Damian Priest eliminating Drew before Logan Paul ever came out, and they had to adjust that. In watching it, it's hard to see like how much of a difference that could have made, but also like, and I say this with all due respect to Drew McIntyre, who again I have the most respect for, where are your producers? Where are the time people on that? Like, why are they, if Drew was supposed to go out before Logan Paul comes out, mm-hmm. why are they playing Logan Paul's music? Why mm-hmm. is it, why is it like that? And I mean, I know that some really great minds were producing that. So I feel like, and maybe I'll hear from some of them, but I feel like there was a miscommunication all around on that end.
Have you heard if Drew is disenchanted with the idea of a match with Damian Priest at WrestleMania?
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that at all. And I mean, Damian Priest has been a main character on WWE Raw for a very long time, a world champion, has been in there with Bad Bunny, all that stuff. Like,
well, they also have a story.
Yes.
Right? He cashed in on Drew at Mania last year.
Yes.
So they got a story. Now, I saw the article in the Daily Mail, which kind of is where all this started, where the match Drew versus versus Damian was referred to as a nothing match. I don't agree with that because it depends on the story you tell, right?
Yes.
It's the story you tell. McIntyre is a great promo. He's a good promo, man. And it's all about the story that you tell. And again, they have a story. Damian Priest cashed in on McIntyre and Damian Priest eliminated him from the Royal Rumble. You've got a story. It's just, can you tell the right story? So I don't really have a problem with any of it in terms of that being a Mania match. And you can also always add a stipulation to it. You can make it a gimmick match. There's lots of things you can do. But that was the sentiment, at least in that article. And yeah, I just don't buy it.
We'll talk more about that as well. Cool Fool says, any shot at TNA being featured in WrestleMania? I wouldn't count on it, but I wouldn't rule it out. I know this is early. Do you see them building to SummerSlam around Liv this year and hopefully have her in a big time program in her hometown? I would find it surprising if she wasn't involved in something substantial. It's clear they're moving her towards more of a tag team thing right now. But, I mean, there are, 6 months between now and then, and a lot can change. You can go on a full tag team run between now and then. They, as far as, like, SummerSlam and it being, like, the hometown thing, like, would they do that to paint her as the babyface? It'd be hard to do that in that landscape that she's in right now. I kind of wish all of Judgment Day would have moved off of Raw, but now that Damian Priest is off of Raw and over to SmackDown, I don't want them to do that.
Right.
So, yeah, I could see it happening, but I haven't heard that it's happening. It's way too early for that.
I want to talk to you about one issue with the Rumble. It's the same issue that we had last year at the Rumble. Do you remember last year, Rollins was the world champion, so he wasn't in the match, and they showed him sitting up in a suite watching. And whenever the next entrant would come out, it would take Rollins a few seconds to figure out who it was because everybody's got shitty generic music, right? So when the next guy would come out, Rollins would be kind of, you know, waiting to figure out who it was, just like everybody else. I found this year it was the same problem. A lot of the wrestlers would come out and the crowd didn't know till their name showed up on the screen who they were because of their shitty generic music. Yeah. Have you heard anything about WWE's intentions to beef up their music?
Oh, no, I've not. I've heard a lot of frustration, though. I'm working on a story for Fightful Select. I'll either drop that today or tomorrow, but I have published this before. Def Rebel takes no input from wrestlers. Like, they don't contact the wrestlers or anything like that. There's a ton of them that I've talked to that are like, man, this sucks. This is not what it used to be. And then somehow people like Natalya have kept their Jim Johnston themes for like 15 years. It's so weird. And I'm like, okay, WWE touts their gates and their merchandise and all that. Y'all can't spend a little bit more money. Y'all can't pay somebody $400,000 or $500,000 a year to just produce good music. Like, what are we talking about here? Like,
you remember, I can't remember if it was Beyond the Mat, if it was Wrestling with Shadows, one of them, where Jim Johnston explained what went into making music for him. Do you remember? And Jim Johnston was talking about Vader, and he's like, well, Vader kind of walks like this. And so you want to start with like a deep, you know, a deep beat like that, because that's how Vader walks. So Jim Johnston would create music with the wrestler in mind. You have to do that. Like that, that goes without saying. It's obvious, but they don't. Like Finn Balor, Finn Balor could have heard a pin drop. Nobody. No one knew his
Nobody
music.
Knew. No. Nobody knew. No. And he had really good music before.
Right.
It was one of the, like CFOs were hit or miss. Like they would loop the same 50 seconds. And I didn't like that. But like, I'm also never like, oh, let's go back to Jim Johnston. He's 73.
Yeah.
You do not want a 73-year-old doing your music.
Right.
All the time. You don't want it. You do not want it.
Yeah.
My God. I'll tell you what you do want though, guys. NordVPN.com/Fightful. I got to admit, when the new year came along, Jimmy, and Netflix was a thing, I was like, what will this mean for NordVPN.com/Fightful? Will it be more useful, less useful? I'll tell you what I'm about to do until football season. I'm about to cancel my cable subscription, Jimmy, because I've got NordVPN.com/Fightful. And with that, and the 30-day money-back guarantee, the 4 months extra, the exclusive deal, you're able to take your Netflix, change your VPN on a Tuesday for NXT, on a Friday for SmackDown, on a weekend for a PLE, and you can watch the WWE content with NordVPN.com/Fightful. That's in addition to all of their other great benefits that they have, like, again, changing your virtual location, shielding your data from snoops and criminals, protecting yourselves on public Wi-Fi, the fact that it's available for all your devices. NordVPN.com/Fightful is just one of the most versatile things you could possibly have. It is wonderful. Check out this discount at NordVPN.com/Fightful. And if you don't like it for any reason, maybe you don't want the threat protection. Maybe you don't want the password manager, the file encryption. Maybe you're like, I don't even want 24/7 tech support. 30-day money-back guarantee. It is phenomenal. The amount that you will spend on a membership in, I think, over 2 years at this point is less than 1 month of what I'm paying for YouTube TV at this point. Because it's $100 now. Insane. So big savings there. Listen, if the price of eggs has you out of control, get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You might even be able to get those cheaper at this point.
I mean, if you can find that 10,000 that went missing or whatever, maybe, you know. I saw all your puns today.
Oh, it was good. Got a bunch of super chats, Humper Chats. I want to clear this one up. Thomas Rathert says, this whole AEW Australia thing is weird. Why would Brisbane want to pay AEW to come in and initially run a stadium show for a TV event? I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, listen, I feel like the planning, execution, rollout, and promotion has been a fumble, a complete fumble. I don't think that they did a good job with it. I don't think that they anticipated the market well enough. I don't think that they started promoting it early and well enough. I know that they did some, you know, some media and all that, but it just wasn't effective. However, I cannot convey this enough. the very first time I asked, is this going to be a pay-per-view? A person in the company said to me, no, it is not planned to be a pay-per-view because a couple reasons. One, pay-per-views will not be on Max at that point. We don't know what that will look like. And running a show like that on that type of time delay or time change is not conducive to making money on pay-per-view. They were not kidding themselves and making us think that they were going to make money on pay-per-view as a result. It was always planned to be a TV event or a TV special. I don't want to compare it to Battle of the Belts or something like that, but it was never planned to be a pay-per-view. And I saw a lot of people like, yeah, sure, Tony, I get it. Stadium show, that's a wild approach, but you have to look at the situation in totality here. It was poorly planned. And this was another element of it that was probably not planned well.
I never thought it was going to be a pay-per-view because it had the Grand Slam name.
Which has a notable history of not being a pay-per-view.
Right, yeah. Now, I do believe last year they split it up over Dynamite and Collision, I think. I think they had Night 1, Night 2, Dynamite, yeah. Collision. But still, it's always been a television special. So
Sorry to interrupt. Tony has always been a person that doesn't want to charge for something he's given away for free in the past. Like, that's been a thing that I've heard about him.
Right. But I agree with what you said. I think that they ran that market because WWE ran Australia, did really well with the pay-per-view, yeah. Or the PLE. And so I feel like he felt the need to keep up. And it was not a wise move to run a stadium there. I don't even know how they're doing selling tickets to the arena.
I have no idea either.
And the other issue that I've heard about it is people were confused about when the hell is it airing, because there were different times that were given. Now, apparently, it's going to be right after the All-Star game, which is a great lead-in for them.
It is a great lead-in for them. I mean, I see a lot of people saying, terrible time slot. Listen, I'll take that trade any day if I'm AEW. Just don't have Jericho prominently featured this time, like the last NBA or that NBA lead-in doesn't go well. Oh, a bunch of super chats, humper chats. Keep getting them in, my friends. Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceovers says, fifth member of Callis family, Corbin. I had heard that they wanted to put some space between considering Corbin. He was at World's End, but he was in town. I think he lives in the area maybe at this point, but he was talking to New Japan as well. Tony P says, Sean, can you clarify something you said about Tony being back in the weeds in AEW's booking methods? When you were discussing the topic, you said something about people who greenlit things. I'm assuming with TK's trust, thank you for your hard work. So I'll give you a good example. And here's what I've always been told. A lot of talent kind of missed the Jacksonville days because Tony was what wrestling calls in the weeds with creative. Not the restaurant definition of overwhelmed, but like really, really deep creatively. And since football season has ended, he's back in that way. Now, I don't know of anybody who has everything greenlit. And I mean anybody. People will discuss it with the talent sometimes before they discuss it with Tony, which isn't the method he would prefer. And sometimes it gets brought to Tony and Tony's like, well, I like that idea, but not that long. For example, MJF, Jeff Jarrett. That was supposed to go much longer than it's going to go. But Tony Khan's like, no, I got other plans. I'm moving towards MJF and Hangman. So that didn't end up happening. But I don't think anybody has anything 100% green lit to get past Tony in that sense. Jimmy, any thoughts?
How much of the Death Rider story is Jon Moxley?
I mean, he contributes pretty heavily. He works with RJ City.
Okay. Because that one has not hit. And I think consensus is it hasn't hit. So I did it as a joke for a while. I would post Honky Tonk Man Ultimate Warrior from SummerSlam 88 on Twitter saying, I'm going to will this into existence. Jon Moxley is going to get squashed for the AEW title. It's not going to happen. But that story is not hitting. So I was, because this is one of the assumptions that people have without knowledge. They assume Death Riders is all Moxley, Mercedes Moné stuff is all Mercedes Moné. This is the assumption people have without knowledge because they don't like it, right? And so that's why I like to ask you, because if I'm Tony Khan, I'm not just letting the inmates run the asylum. You got to have your finger on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome to everybody who is watching on Instagram. A reminder, we do have an Instagram at instagram.com/FightfulOnline, or you can just type in Fightful Online. Please follow us over there. We are also on Facebook. I have been hopping over onto that Facebook account and debunking the insane fake news that is over there. As bad as it is on Twitter, it's worse on Facebook. And, you know, when Sports Keto posts clickbait garbage bullshit, I debunk some of that as well. So follow us on Facebook, on Instagram. We are on TikTok as well. I'm going to create an infographic of some things that maybe you all didn't even know that we have, like Twitch, Fightful Scraps, Fightful Overbooked, all that good stuff. Matthew Hamm says, do you know any plans of EO at Mania? They're teasing her and Rhea a lot. Mania is 2.5 months away. I don't think that Rhea and EO goes until then. I think it happens before that. But we'll see. Do you think that if there's a triple threat with Rollins, Punk, and Reigns, they add a stipulation like a title shot? They should. I think the winner of that should get a title shot, Jimmy. With WrestleMania, they tend to avoid stuff like that. Like, you don't see a lot of number one contender, like, unless it's a battle royal or something like that. But I think that they should. I think that would lead to natural intrigue.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In that match.
Mania is typically the blow off for everything. That's typically how they use it.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? So this is another situation, kind of like the Jey Uso situation. I understand why they're doing it. I understand why you got Roman, Punk, Rollins. There's a story between all three of them. All three of them don't like each other. I get it. But I would much rather, as a wrestling fan, see Roman, Punk one-on-one as a wrestling fan. What are your thoughts on them going the triple threat route as opposed to Punk, Rollins one-on-one? And then point B to my question, do you think they main event maybe night one of Mania?
It's Roman. They're going to main event. But I'm okay with it because Rollins is very good at adding to a story as well. I think it will be very action packed. I think it'll be very fast paced. You don't have to rely as much on selling when you've got three ingredients involved. You could do Punk and Reigns individually. I think that if you load up Mania with too many one-on-one matches, it becomes very redundant. And this one is one that I think can really add some juice to WrestleMania. I understand that when you add an ingredient, some people think it loses some integrity or luster or some marquee value. But when you're talking about these guys, and now Rollins and Reigns can both claim that they are CM Punk's golden ticket to main eventing WrestleMania. Seth Rollins can say this wasn't a main event until I got myself involved, like stuff like that, and hold that over his head. I'm open to see how it goes. I like how it's going so far with Seth Rollins doing a full on Mario stomp on Roman Reigns' head. That was filthy.
And because it's a triple threat, it's going to be no DQ. And so that means they can have interference exactly. And whatnot. Now, here's a question for you. Because again, I always check out discourse. I like to see what fans are saying. One of the things people have said on Twitter is, well, Rollins is there to take the pinfall. Do you think they surprise us and Roman or Punk take the pinfall? Because everyone's going to assume Rollins does, right?
Yes, I do. Because I think that's the direction they'll go.
Right. Okay. We'll see how it goes. Now, Sammy Kevin Owens, like you just said, there's a lot of singles matches at Mania. I love the idea of Sammy Kevin Owens. I think the package pile driver looks freaking amazing. I love the camera work they do, where the camera kind of zooms in right on impact. I like it. They got to have a stipulation. Do you think maybe it's barred or something?
Yeah. I think whatever night the triple threat is on, Sammy Kevin should be on another night. And like, you look at their rich history of working together at WrestleMania. They were in the ladder match together. They teamed together for Bryan Danielson's return match. They had their singles match, but it was in a half empty Raymond James after the COVID year. Then they teamed together Now they're going to have a real opportunity with emotion. And I had been like, anytime I'd interview Kevin Owens, I'd be asking him on camera, off camera, when you bring him back the package pile driver. And he was like, I'm waiting for the right time. I want to maximize it. And did he ever maximize it, Jimmy?
Looks like a million bucks. It looks like a million
bucks. It does.
And again, the camera work on it is so great, you know?
Yeah.
That it looks, I mean, that's what wrestling moves are supposed to look like. They're supposed to look devastating like that. Looks great. So that'll be interesting. And then I guess one more question for you in terms of Mania. I want to talk about the Women's Rumble too, but in terms of Mania, haven't heard a lot about Randy Orton. Have you heard much on Randy Orton?
Nothing I can divulge. There was, you know, nothing I can divulge. Just, yeah, not really a lot I can provide there.
Okay.
There's not. New Lack City says, I don't really get into the arguing about women's Rumble winners. I understand both sides, and Jay is due. My only complaint is I don't want to see Jay versus Gunther again. They have to stop saying Royal Rumble winner will main event WrestleMania, because this will not. I agree. It will not main event WrestleMania. If it does, I think a lot of people will be frustrated. But yeah, also,
it'll be the opener. It'll be the opener on one of the nights.
If it does main event a night of WrestleMania, there will be 65,000 people yeeting their britches, Jimmy. they will. It will happen. New Lack City, thank you for the Humper Chat. Mr. CJ Lilly, I want to say, you sent a bunch of very generous Super Chats. I was not ignoring them or holding them off. I wanted to provide them the appropriate amount of time because you were very generous. And we're going to talk at length about the Alexa Bliss thing. Mr. CJ Lilly says, I heard someone say Alexa Bliss wasn't needed, didn't have a place anymore in WWE. LOL, that is nonsense. Can never be said again after the return of a true superstar. Now push her to the moon, WWE. And then he says, also, news of a lot of Hollywood eyes were open for Alexa's return. I really think she could be the female Rock or Cena. Sorry, buddy. Harley Cameron's already the female Rock.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
He says
she's doing good on AEW, by the way, though, right? Getting the match with Mercedes.
She's great. She's awesome.
Saw her singing with Jericho too on the cruise. I'm telling you, man.
She's multifaceted, talented. She's one of the most talented people in wrestling. But first to breaking into mainstream, she's got so much range. Alexa could be as big as Cody or Roman. Well, she's got 5 years to get that done, buddy. We are about to talk about that. And Mr. CJ Lilly says one person got their best theme back. AJ got his, and Alexa got her best theme, the Fury. And don't read the dirt sheets. Mr. CJ Lilly, I have a lot to say about that. So
Stu Bennett had your back. Wade Barrett,
he did.
He
did.
Barrett had your back.
And I appreciate that, but I take issue with a lot of that. And he says, any updates on Alexa Bliss? Glad she's back. What a pop. Last I had heard, she was planned for SmackDown. And I had heard there were some plans and talks about integrating her with the Wyatts. Fightful Selected reported the Wyatts were out due to an injury and that there were some plans, but they weren't necessarily being held up as a result of Alexa being out. So here is what happened. And listen, I am not going to sit here and pretend like everybody in wrestling media would have my back if this situation happened, but Dave certainly has in the past. So I want to highlight this as well. Dave Meltzer and Mike Johnson were correct in their reporting. If you are going to go on WWE Royal Rumble and bury dirt sheets, first off, whether or not Stu Bennett, Wade Barrett gets on Twitter and absolves me from that or not, I'm getting lumped in with that. Like, I didn't report a peep about Alexa Bliss besides it wasn't holding up the Wyatts thing until Saturday, Jimmy, of which I reported she was coming back that day.
I saw so many tweets, Sean, saying, Sean, they got you, Sean.
Yeah,
I saw so many because, yeah, you're right. Everybody just groups you in, just like you said.
Groups us in. And I mean, listen, I specifically looked at the coverage that was around when I started, and I decided very distinct things that I would and wouldn't do. Very clearly, my social media conduct is not as professional as many others. But if you want to talk about accuracy and getting details, I feel like I'm the best that has done this period. Like, that's how confident I feel in my work. I'm very proud of that fact. And that doesn't mean that I take anything away from Dave or Mike, but they reported this story correctly. They reported that there were contract impasses as a result, and they didn't know when Alexa was coming back, that there were plans for Alexa to come back. They got put on hold. They had merchandise produced and all that. And it's like, Sean, how can you be so sure? How can you be sure that they didn't get worked? There is a fundamental misunderstanding about the relationship of sources and WWE with media. At no point have I had WWE, from a company standpoint or an individual, feed me something that I can point at and say, that is untrue. That is a lie. They will intentionally avoid telling me things, which is their right. They don't owe me information. I owe our subscribers information. So I get word Saturday, oh yeah, she's going to be there, but she's not there yet because she was on a plane. Why was she on a plane on Saturday? Because they didn't get her contract signed until very early Saturday morning. She was in Florida Friday. Shotzi Blackheart, Shotzi was going to be in the Rumble. That's why the spot was very plug and play. They had already rehearsed extensively on Friday about spots for the Royal Rumble. So when Alexa Bliss comes out and they have just fixed a contract issue, Fightful Select reported that she signed a 5-year deal. Shout out to Paragon talent, Steve K, Mojo. We'll talk about that momentarily. But they got it right, and you're burying the industry as a whole. Well, why would they do something like that? Well, maybe there are things in the news right now that they don't want people believing, reading, or anything like that. I can tell you that the company was very respectful to me as I was in the media box and all that. But, like, that, whether or not he absolves all, like, me from being lumped in, I still was lumped in. Yeah. But there was nothing being wrong with being lumped in with them because they were right. Dave and Mike were correct in their reporting and confirmed it with WWE, with management, with the literal team that put the deal together.
Yeah, I think sometimes that's just something commentary just says. You know what I mean? Because they want to look.
It's stupid.
Yeah. They want to look like they're smarter, right? So they want to get.
Sure.
They want to throw that.
And I have an immense amount of respect for Michael Cole and for Stu Bennett, Wade Barrett. I think they're both wonderful performers and very talented. That is, and again, I don't know if that was something they said or something that they were fed in that regard. Because Triple H takes his little shots. His little shots, but also makes sure I get a question in at the following presser to show everybody it's cool. But I see what people can tell. If you really look at that, you can tell what they're doing. And you know what? If I were in their position, there's a whole lot of stuff that I probably wouldn't want people trusting the media about as well. But the people that fall for it, that's absolutely the type of person they want to fall for.
Tons do.
You remember when CM Punk did that Colt Cabana thing and he talked about how people in the company would be like, oh, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you go to Mexico and pass up this huge exposure opportunity for a movie and all that? And talking about how fans are like, you're ungrateful. He said, good, that's what they want. That is what they want. The people that will actually believe that stuff. And again,
and the company.
I do thank Stu Bennett for clearing that up because that is not something that he had to do. Mm-hmm. And that means an awful lot. And a whole lot of people went silent after that and weren't hitting me with those. But I'm like, damn, guys, come on. Like I can't speak to Mike or Dave's methods. We don't interact with one another very much, if at all. But I know how hard and how much I put into verifying this stuff. But
I want to talk about the Women's Rumble match itself because the finish has really gotten a lot of discourse. I got to tell you, watching Raw, I felt for Charlotte Flair, man. I did, because she was trying to have her genuine moment. She was trying to talk about her injury. She got emotional at the presser talking about her injury. And then she kind of started talking about her brother a little bit and got emotional. Here's my question for you, Sean. When they brought Hulk Hogan out during the Netflix debut, and I said to you, did the company not have their finger on the pulse on this one, or did they expect that reaction because they kept the promo short? That was my question. Did they not, expect that reaction, or did they expect it, they kept it short? Same thing here. Did they not expect this reaction, or did they prepare Charlotte for it? Because one thing you can give Charlotte credit for, maybe better than anybody else among the women, she can cut a promo, she can pivot, she can listen to the audience. So she was trying to have her moment. She, the crowd was shitting all over and she went with it. So that's my question. Do you think WWE expected this was going to be the reaction, or did they actually think that Charlotte could come back as a babyface?
The people that I talked to expected it. And Jay Polanco says WWE needs to realize we are sick of seeing Charlotte return and get thrown in the title picture immediately. It's so played out. Jimmy, that needs to be the story. Like, all due respect to Charlotte, like, they're booing Charlotte Flair, the character, not Charlotte Flair, the human being.
Yes, of course.
You know, Ashley Flair, the human being.
Yeah.
They are not booing the woman who came back from a career-threatening knee surgery. They are not booing the woman who, you know, lost somebody very near and dear to her that launched this career. They are booing Charlotte Flair, the character that got thrust into repeated title win spamming and to get her closer to her dad's number. That's what they're booing. They're delusional. I know very little, if anything, about Charlotte Flair in a personal perspective. On a professional level, it's been so long since she's been in the title picture. I'm not mad at it or anything like that, but it is something that has become like a meme. And Dream Ninja says Charlotte and Tiffy is the play. She didn't need the Royal Rumble to get there. Jay winning was amazing. The crowd reaction proved it wasn't a bad choice. Jimmy, here's the thing that I pitched for this Friday. And I said it could be Bailey, but I think it would work with Nia Jax, who bullied Tiffany Stratton around an awful lot. The crowd wants to cheer Tiffany Stratton.
They already are.
They already are. She and I talked about it. it is, I would have Charlotte go in there and kind of big sister her. And then backstage, you have Nia Jax, who did that to Tiffany, approach Tiffany, and Tiffany's ready to fight. And she's like, no, listen, we got our issues, but this is a bigger issue. Do not let her do this to you, because what I did to you will seem like small potatoes if you allow this woman to, because every person back here has experienced it from her. She comes in, she gets what she wants, and she takes it. But this time she earned it. She won a Royal Rumble. She got there. There's no way to avoid it, but don't let her do this to you. And you can babyface Tiffany even more that way.
You'll babyface Nia too, potentially.
You can babyface Nia a little bit. Like, you have to have those human elements there, because Nia doesn't have to turn babyface after that. Just, you know, contribute to the story in that sense. And I think it would go a long way.
I liked that Charlotte went to NXT as well, because they're putting respect on the NXT women's title. So I like that. I saw at the Rumble.
I liked that Roxanne went an hour plus, broke the record for the Rumble,
right?
and was second. I like that too.
Yeah. They on Raw, they did the segment with Rhea to try to give you that tease. But during the Rumble, Rhea and Tiffany were watching together backstage and they filmed it. And after it was over, when they were asked about Charlotte, Rhea basically laughed and said, "Been there, done that." She tapped Tiffany on the shoulder. She said, "All yours, mate." And she left. And so that pretty much tells you all you need to know, I think. But you know what? I understand the fan sentiment on Charlotte. You know, I saw people comparing her to this generation's Hulk Hogan in terms of the push. And I get it. And she is kind of Hunter's girl, I guess. But at the same time, I mean, she's one of the best to ever do it. It'd be different.
Sure.
It'd be different if they were giving somebody a push that didn't have the talent and the experience to kind of deserve it. I rank Charlotte right up there as one of the best to ever do it. But I understand the fan sentiment. I do.
And Bobby said, "What did you think of the promo for Monday? Was she told to switch heel if the crowd rejected her?" I haven't been told that, but you can't expect Charlotte to go out there and get cheered. You just can't.
And they did bring Rhea out there, right? So obviously she was going to be going in a heel direction anyway.
Yes, but I haven't heard that. I will ask. We have a ton of super chats and humper chats, and I'm going to try to get to as many of them as possible before Jimmy has to head out. I will handle the rest. Nulak City sends a humper chat over at humperchats.com. Says, AEW has some issues, yet there's clearly a disparity among the hate they get online. On social media, it seems like there's a coordinated effort to hurt them, just like politics and MAGA. It worked. Agree, or it's just grifting? It's both. It is excruciating to look at a Instagram clip of like Will Ospreay and just a bunch of people. "He doesn't know how to properly sell," like all that stuff. And I'm like, it's on everything. It's so annoying. Like, And hey, everybody is entitled to their opinion, but like at this point, it's like the cool thing to do. And at one point, it was the cool thing to hate on WWE for how bad it was, and TNA for how bad it was, and WCW for how bad it was. So it's something that, sort of comes with it, and the proof is in producing good content.
AEW, we're not going to sit here and claim that they don't have issues, because they do. They have issues creatively. They have issues with, they have a lot of issues. They do. But if they pumped out the best episode of Dynamite ever week after week after week after week, there'd still be people complaining.
Yeah.
That's just how
and
it
say
is.
That's you know not how it's done. Vin sends a couple of very generous ones. Says, the issue is not you or Mike. It's Dave. Dave splices his opinions into facts and uses phrases like they are far apart. Dave has become a hindrance to AEW and your profession. I'd stop defending him. Thanks. Good work. They were far apart. I don't know what else to tell you guys that they were far apart. They wanted her to work on her old deal and said, we've paid you for multiple years of maternity leave and injury time. The deals are not close in what the terms were and all that stuff. And I can't speak to the other things that Dave puts out there, because not to bury him or anything, I don't read The Observer. I don't. I do my own thing. And if I need to source something, I do. But in this specific instance, the man was correct. Says, do we expect Drew back for the feud with Priest, or is he doing an Austin walkout? If Owen Zane is happening at Mania, are we not expecting Orton back? Orton back is a big question mark, because when he's out, that man is out. Like, he's out for a good amount of time. I think that Owens and Zane is happening at Mania. I think that it's a pretty clear thing. They could kick it off at Elimination Chamber because of the geographical location, Jimmy. And I fully expect Drew being back. While you could argue that that was not professional, he ultimately comes back. He did the same thing with the Punk deal. He wasn't happy about it, but he came to work.
I was questioning if maybe Owens will be in the Elimination Chamber and Sammy will somehow cost him.
Yeah, they could also do like a last chance qualifier and things.
Right,
like
there's
that
lots of things
well.
They could do. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of things they could do, but I expect Drew on SmackDown. I don't know that for sure. I expect Sammy and Owens at Mania, and I think that there's a big question mark around Orton. People are really quiet about him. Usually, if stuff gets out about Orton, he wants people to know about it. Like because he just keeps everything very, very quiet.
Here's a question for you, Sean. Last year, one of the most over people in all of wrestling was LA Knight, right? He was one of the most popular guys, his entrance, his promos, everything. He was one of the most over guys.
Imagine how over he would have been if they would have used the Bring Me to Life by Evanescence that you recommended.
It was for engagement. Anyway, he feels like the odd man out right now. He feels like the guy that's not scheduled for any major matchup. Give me your opinion. Why do you think they did not capitalize on his popularity? Now, he did beat Logan Paul for the U.S. title.
Oh, I think they did capitalize on his popularity. I don't think so. He still gets great reactions. He won the U.S. title, feuded with Logan Paul, was in Slim Jim commercials. I think they absolutely capitalized on it. It signed him to a new deal. I think he capitalized on it. I think they did. I don't think that it was a situation where he needed to be world champion. I mean, listen, and Wheel says, are you able to explain why others you asked agreed that LA Knight was trying to get his moves in? He got his short time to do his moves like everyone. That is something I pushed back on and said, well, did he add one that he wasn't supposed to do? Because there wasn't a lot of time there.
Right.
That was a question mark that I had. And just a couple people that I talked to said, we agree with Drew's sentiment. And that was it. Like, I didn't hear of any, like, huge heat, just that they agreed in that situation.
I feel like since he lost the U.S. or since he won the U.S. title from Logan Paul, it's been all downhill since he won the U.S. title. They had him in programs that meant nothing with like Garza and guys that just weren't really of the level. Loses to Shinsuke. His promos, which is something that was why he was the most over, he hasn't done a ton of promos. And that was the thing that he was over for. I feel like after he won the U.S. title, all downhill for LA Knight. That's how I feel about it.
Guys, if you all are watching right now, I don't think that there was, I mean, he should do more promos for sure. He should do more promos. but I think that they've gotten a lot out of him, and they will continue to. I think that they will. Guys, leave a thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate that. I got a bunch more super chats, humper chats. Jimmy,
I could do five more minutes. 5 minutes.
Five more. We got five more. Tim Traver sent a generous one. Check out the Diecast Collective on YouTube. He said, my Rumble pick was Cena as my main one, Penta as my dark horse, and underrated pick, Ray. Jay was my overall pick. Well, Jay ended up winning. Cena was number two. Penta was the Iron Man, I believe. And Ray is just one of those that I didn't think he was going to win, but he's one that is always adds a little bit of luster to the show.
Here's a question. Did both Penta's feet touch on?
They did, but who could possibly give a shit?
Yeah, I know. They were smart not to replay it, too. They didn't replay it. They just kind of let it go.
Yeah, I agree. Kim Gray says, I'll be at SmackDown Friday in Memphis. I hope you and Bo have a good time. Says, opinion on Cope beating Mox at Revolution. Think it's time to pivot from the Death Riders for anyone else. I don't think the pivot should be to Cope. I agree. I think a lot of his promo work has been very corny and like, hey, guys, I'm going to make this old reference so you guys know how old I am. You don't have to hide it or anything like that.
Yeah, Mox is not the guy. No. Or Cop, Cope. Mox, not right now either, but Cope is not the
guy. Well, neither Mox or Cop or Cope. None of them.
Right.
What about Mirko Cope Cop, Jimmy? What about
you him? Know what? If he was in his prime going out there laying that kick, I'd be into it, Sean.
He won the IGF championship that they, I love the idea of it. They would defend it in shoot fights and pro wrestling matches. I loved the idea of that title. I wish they would do that again, bring it back.
Did he have pro wrestling training, Mirko Crocop?
No, but he won it in a legit fight. I think he may have done a couple of pro wrestling matches. Let me look.
I'm going to look that up later.
He faced, no, it was an MMA rules. Now, I don't know if that was a work or a shoot back then. I admittedly don't know.
But he was my guy in the Fridays.
You know, me too. He had a finishing move. But you know how it was back then. If you could shoot in MMA, they would have you in a pro wrestling match in Japan. Anyone else think Penta's ripoff is Rage Against the Machine killing in the name of? Maybe some similarities there for sure. But I'd have to really listen to it. Have you heard of Nikki and Trish will be sticking around post-Rumble? I had heard that Trish would be involved in some capacity for a while moving forward and that she often pitches things. And I had just heard that it wouldn't be the last we've seen of Nikki. Now, Trish has the 25 years merch and has a Toronto show coming up at the end of the month, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. So I would be shocked if she wasn't.
They're doing a Women's Elimination Chamber, I presume. Mm-hmm. So I bet Trish is in that.
Oh,
Nikki,
boy.
Nikki looked good, I thought, right? Nikki looked pretty
good.
She
did. She looked great. So did Trish.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, by all means. Alex says, sends a humper chat, says, ASRS switching gears. I don't know if anyone asked you what your reaction was to the trade that broke the internet Saturday. What were you doing? I was driving home from the Royal Rumble. Again, I could have stayed for the presser, maybe, but my wife didn't get approved for it. And I was like, I'm not going to have her wait. Let's go on and go home. This is a rare opportunity for me to be able to drive home. I was so exhausted, Jimmy. I made it until about, I think, 30 minutes home. And then we got out and switched spots. And I looked at my phone and I thought I was hallucinating it in my sleep. And then I thought it was like one of those fake NBA scoops accounts. Think about this. For all the thousands of accounts I have blocked on Twitter, if you say a crossword to me, like, or Dick, I block you. I used to only block fake NBA scoops accounts. I thought it was fake. And then I just saw the reactions and I was like, I can't believe this. Unbelievable.
Does Jeremy ever look at this podcast? Jeremy Lambert?
Here and there. Yeah. Here and there.
So I'm not a big NBA guy, so I couldn't give two shits about that trade. But it reminded me of an NHL trade featuring Jeremy's Colorado Avalanche. If anybody's a hockey fan, they traded one of their star players named Mikko Rantanen. Even though he didn't want to be traded, he was willing to take a discount on a contract, and they traded him anyway. And so for me as a hockey fan, I kind of put the NBA trade into similar context with the Avalanche trade. I'm sure Jeremy probably did not like that trade either.
By the way, Jeremy Lambert and Joel Pearl are on In the Weeds every morning now on Fightful Overbooked. If you guys don't follow that, I think they have the best morning show in wrestling. I think they do a wonderful job. Dream Ninja says, I don't know. I didn't know Wade commented and backed your work. Awesome. When are people going to learn you actually are respected by talent for your work? Well, I would like to believe that by and large, I have good relationships with most talent. I stay out of their bedrooms, their personal lives.
I'm glad you stay out of the bedrooms, Sean. Congratulations.
Well, listen, Jimmy.
Sean's not making any nut milk in there.
I was going to say, I can't make my own nut milk like you. And Amir says, do you think Triple H is the only inductee of the Hall of Fame? Are they going to have some with him? They will have some with him. They absolutely will.
Please keep it to like three. Keep it to like three.
Yes.
That's it.
BL says, what super trade would you make for AEW and WWE? Ooh, that's a good one. I would trade Miro, Ricky Starks. Miro, Ricky Starks.
Ray Phoenix
for... let's see.
You got to think of like a good in Carmelo Hayes. Put him the other way.
Maybe Carmelo Hayes. Probably Chad. You know what? Them for American Made, I think would go very, very well.
Oh, I wouldn't want to lose Chad Gable. I love Chad Gable.
I wouldn't want to lose it, but you ain't playing for WWE, buddy.
Yeah,
it's just an even trade.
I love the guy in WWE.
Julius Creed and Brutus Creed would do well in AEW, and I think Ivy Nile would do well as well.
I also think MJF and WWE would kill it. He would kill
me too.
It. Yeah,
me too. Happy Hump and Nut Milk Day. Let's crank. Any chance Jonathan Gresham joins the wifey in WWE? I've always heard that that they liked him, but I haven't heard that he's joining yet. If I were NXT, I would want Jonathan Gresham as a veteran guy who has worked on a variety of TV, ROH, AEW, TNA, New Japan, and can coach people. And then I would bring him up to the main roster. And I always liked how Vince explained to Taz. He called Taz ECW's sawed-off monster. That is a hell of a gimmick. That is a great gimmick of a guy that a lot of people look at and they're like, all right, little fella. And then he ties you up in knots or suplexes you in your dome and you can't do anything to stop it. That is a great gimmick.
What'd you think of Fandango showing up in NXT?
Loved it. Loved that they had his music play the way that he was. He said, that's not what I am anymore. This is who I am now. The crowd reacted. Wonderful. Did I tell you about me meeting him last year?
No, I don't think so.
He goes, hey, are you Sean Ross? And I was like, yeah. He goes, you're like famous or something. And I was like, thank you, Fandango, of whose WrestleMania match with Chris Jericho I covered. Then I run into him chatting with Maven at the airport.
My favorite was when during COVID you interviewed Sheamus and you had to wear the mask.
Yeah.
So Sheamus didn't know who you were until you said your name. And then he went, oh, hey. He's like, hey. He's like, you're all over the place. I like that one. That was a good one. Yeah, I got it.
See you guys. See ya.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
Bye. I'll do these super chats, humper chats. Bye, Jimmy. Oh, look at this. I need to get this frame out of my way. Get him out of there. Look, we're having a party right now. Keep on sending in your super chats, your humper chats. We would greatly appreciate that. If you like what I'm doing here, FightfulSelect.com, $6 a month, $64 a year. I have a Discord where I answer questions nonstop. Also, I do a Q&A every week. We did a live one on Saturday as well. So if you like what we do, go over there and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. Also, please subscribe here on our YouTube channel. I know I bang that drum. Listen, the algorithm is not kind to us. You may say, why is the algorithm not kind to you? Because we stream all the time. You ain't got to turn notifications on, but subscribe. We've got daily shows, nightly shows. We have interviews with top wrestling talent. We have now info, like info documentary videos that Mike Straw is doing. We really want to expand. And what I want is for you guys to let me know what you want to see on this channel. What do you all want to see more of? I'm doing the post-Raw show solo. I got such great feedback on that Monday. So I'm gonna stick at it solo for a while. But Wild said, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Says, hopefully not too late. What's this Gable thing going away to learn the dark arts of Lucha story about? Is he going to show up in AAA as Lucha Gable? I would imagine they do some vignettes. This is a hunch. This is not a report. Or maybe got some time off or something like that. But I think it could be entertaining and funny, and he's capable of working any style. Do you guys remember when Alex Shelley was teaching Kevin Nash like how to wrestle the X Division style? That's what I want out of this. That's what I want out of this. It could be so funny and so entertaining. Seen multiple posts about Prime Video airing pay-per-views on their platform for AEW. Do you know anything about it or if the rumor posts are true? I'm working on it. I have reached out to people in Amazon and AEW. I will see what I can figure out. I will say this. It was at least reported by Brandon Thurston, who is usually very accurate, and then aggregated by Sports Illustrated. And I feel like if it got that far and was incorrect, AEW or Amazon likely would have corrected it. Reminder, guys, I am back tonight for the AEW pay-per-view. A few things that you can do to help us. Subscribe to us on audio platforms. Leave us nice reviews. Leave thumbs ups on these videos. Comment on the videos. All that good stuff. Listen, I know we have a ton of ways for you to support us, but we would greatly appreciate even more support. Brokely Hathaway says, just wanted to say thank you for keeping me company every Wednesday, or most of them anyway, as this might be my last live watching of The Hump. Well, I hate to hear that. He says, after 430 days, the unemployed streak is finally over. Well, I'm very happy to hear that. Brokely Hathaway, you're not going to be Brokely anymore, my friend. Hell yes. Congratulations to you. You're going to do great, my friend. He says, to tape delay, I go, well, hey, here's the benefit of those Humper chats. You can send those in ahead of the show. Anonymous says, Sean, please win the Fightful title off of Joel Reigns when you come to Toronto. Listen, guys, we had so much footage that we filmed years ago that I never released. And honestly, I never released it because there are dipshits on the internet that refuse to allow me to have fun. Maybe I'll post it on Select or something like that. And then if they repost it on their stupid little YouTube shows, I'll just copyright claim them. But somebody says, Brokely hat the paid. There we go. I love it. I love it. Guys, thank you all so much. About to drop some news on FightfulSelect.com, some top merch sellers. Until next time, we're out.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.